Soil is the title Dan has given today's message. His text is Luke chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, Jesus spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed.
Every preacher and teacher of the gospel from time to time is perplexed by the reaction, or lack of it, to the gospel message. There are times when you think that that response is just going to be overwhelming, and then you're disappointed. And then at other times you don't think there'll be a return at all on the seed sown, and you see an unbelievable harvest. Now, why is this? Of course, some of the responsibility must be placed upon the deliverer and deliveree of the message, and certainly the unction or the anointing of the Holy Spirit is vital. But an understanding of those hearing the message is necessary as well. One more thing. You may wonder about your own reaction to the gospel. Why is it that sometimes you seem so open and moved by it, and then at other times you find that you don't have a strong magnetic pull at all? Why? Christ's teaching to us today makes those answers very clear. And he reveals those answers in one of his marvelous parables. You know, a parable is an earthly story that conveys a heavenly meaning. And the story of the sower is one of those parables. One of the joys to me of living in the tropics is that I can do yard work all year around. I'm serious. I love it. And I would surely rather mow the lawn than shovel snow, I'll tell you. Nothing gives me more relaxation and simple pleasure than growing flowers or tending to the grass and pruning bushes and trees. About a year ago, I reseeded my backyard, or at least started to, and I quickly learned that there were places where seeding was a very unpromising situation, so I had to go to sod instead. I've learned, as has every gardener, that the preparation of the soil, or the lack of it, is of prime consideration. Our Lord Jesus lived most of his ministry time in Capernaum, also the tropics, and around that quaint little town, farms spread out in three directions, all except southeast where the Sea of Galilee lay. Jesus must have spent a lot of time observing those farms because he talked so much about growing seasons and crops. As Luke reconstructs the scenario of chapter 8, we find Jesus and multitudes of followers out on the road somewhere. Perhaps as they were walking along, Jesus spied a farmer in the near distance and stopped to watch him a while. Jesus had a tremendous appreciation for honest labor. After all, he himself had served as a carpenter until his 30th year. And I believe that I can see a smile on Jesus' lips as he watches the man in the field. And he turned to his followers and he began to teach them. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some of the seed fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. Well, the disciples and followers looked at each other, then at Jesus. They hadn't the faintest idea what he was talking about. So our Lord perhaps smiled again and explained. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. The first kind of seed fell on the wayside. Croplands in Israel are laid out sort of strange as far as we Westerners are concerned. There doesn't seem to be a lot of rhyme or reason to the layout, although I'm sure there are valid considerations. But you'll see little walkways between the narrow fields where the laborers make their way from crop to crop, and those walkways often become very hard, trod underfoot by the workers, with the sun beating down so hard upon them. Nor do those walkways receive the necessary water for growing. So any seed that falls on the wayside or the walkway has no chance of growing at all. Many times the gospel is presented to minds that are already preset, like the dramatic critic in England who said, "I don't know very much, but what I do know, I know better than anybody. And I don't want to argue about it. My mind is not a bed to be made and remade." Another person once said, "Listen, my mind's already made up. Don't confuse me with facts." My good friend, God has so much to say to you and me. He has a virtual cornucopia of spiritual and mental blessings to pour upon us. God is omniscient. He knows everything. Therefore, those morsels of wisdom he wants to bestow upon us are so important. But how many times do we come into his presence with our minds already made up? Our hearts are hard, unable to be penetrated with the truths of the Word, or we're so preoccupied that the Word cannot sink into our conscious awareness. In those times, we miss what God is saying to us. And it's equally important for us to pray not only for the speaker, but for ourselves, the hearers. When God called me to the current pastorate I serve, I truly did not wish to go for a lot of reasons. I certainly did not want to pray about it for fear God might say something to make me change my mind. So his early words to me on the matter fell on the wayside of my mind and spirit. But fortunately, several of the seeds penetrated deeply enough to sprout some mental growth and spiritual growth. And I began to ponder and then pray. And when my heart and mind became like loose, fertile soil, the harvest of ideas and challenge began to grow. And I've had the joy of seeing God do things I've never witnessed in all my half century of life. But it took me a long, long time to let the seeds grow. How tragic it would have been to have missed the great blessing God was providing simply because his word could not sink into the soil of my mind and heart. The second type of soil Jesus described was rocky. We're not speaking here of dirt filled with stones because that would comprise most of the soil in Israel. No, this is an area of solid rock that's covered with the thinnest veneer of dirt. There was just no way for water to get into that soil, and so any plant growing there would of necessity wither and perish. No roots could develop. May I say to you today with all due respect that much of Christianity has become rootless? So many church people flourish for a little while and then wither away. They've never allowed deep roots to sink into the Word or into the church or into discipleship. They're not like the trees planted by the rivers that Jesus told us of. So when the winds of adversity come along, they're quickly uprooted and displaced. And yet there are other believers whom nothing seems to faze. Setbacks at home or work do not impede their spiritual growth and development. Winds of change do not appear to affect them in any substantial way. Oh, their roots grow so deep that it would take an earthquake or something similar to move them at all. Have you ever noticed that in mountainous and rocky places, you'll often find a solitary tree growing where it seems impossible, and you just can't imagine where it gets water? And yet its roots have penetrated so deep that nothing seems to faze it. That's a picture of how the Christian needs to develop. May God help us to grow strong doctrinal roots, strong moral roots, strong roots of faithfulness. The third type of soil was thorny. Now, when the farmer tilled that ground or turned it over for planting, the thorns were not apparent. The ground looked decent for seeding. But within that soil were other seeds, the beginnings of every kind of disastrous plant that could choke out the good seed. If the word is going to mean to me what God intends it to, then I have to check my heart and mind for hidden thorns. May God deliver us from thorny ground. May we not be so busy, so cluttered with things that don't amount to much, that the saving life of Jesus gets pushed out. I need to constantly inventory my heart and mind. My friend Leonard Ravenhill asks me every time he sees me or writes to me, "Dan, are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for?" Awesome challenge, that. Oh, God, help me to keep my priorities straight and the hidden seeds of thorns out of my heart. May the word grow unhindered so that it flourishes in my life. Finally, Jesus told us of the good soil, well prepared and rich for planting. This soil was conducive to the healthy development of the plant. And I pray that even as I'm speaking to you today, your heart and mind have been prepared to receive the seed of the word. Recently, I preached to a convention of men in the northern United States. When I gave the invitation, a number of those men came forward to accept Christ. One of them was a burly guy who looked like he could crush rocks barehanded. He was weeping. Sobbing, in fact. And he didn't really much care who saw him. And he knelt and prayed, "Oh, God, be merciful to me, be merciful to me." I'm sure there were men who left that service without having accepted Christ as Savior and Lord of their lives. Their hearts were hard, and the seed of the word never penetrated. But this fellow had a tender heart. All I did was plant the seed, the same seed rejected by the others. And when the burly man received the word, God gave the increase to his life. He was gloriously saved, I assure you. Let me suggest something to you today, church member. Maybe, just maybe, it isn't your preacher at all that poses the problem, Sunday school teacher. Maybe you don't really have a leadership problem after all. Maybe you just have a soil problem. We need anointed ears and hearts to hear the word. If the gospel has been bouncing off your soul like a golf ball on pavement, perhaps you need to ask the Holy Spirit to examine your heart. Is it really prepared to receive the word? Every time Charles Spurgeon preached the word in that great Metropolitan Baptist Church in London, some 100 years ago or so, there were between 500 and 700 men in the basement of the church. You know what they were doing? They were on their knees and on their faces, interceding to God on behalf of the message being preached upstairs. They prayed for the anointing of God to rest upon Dr. Spurgeon as he preached. But they also prayed that the hearts of the listeners would be like soft, fertile ground, so the seed being sown could become perfectly planted. No wonder the kingdom of God was so evident in that place. No wonder so many thousands of lives were changed. The soil was ready for the seed. Today you've heard the gospel in song and message. Has it found a place in your heart? I pray that it has, and that you'll ask the Holy Spirit to do anything in your life He finds necessary. God grant that these 30 minutes have been a good sowing season. Perhaps the word has found such lodging in your heart and mind that it's harvest time for you already. If so, this is the call to join me in prayer. Because here you can bring all your discouragements and sins and heartbreak. And you'll know that God hears your sincere prayer and He'll answer. Heavenly Father, it's been almost 40 years since the word of salvation was sown in my heart. And I can still remember vividly the walk to the altar there as a teenager to find in Christ everything I have ever needed or truly wanted. And I'm thankful there was fertile soil in my heart that night. And now I pray that the seed sown today, not only on Revival Time, but other gospel media ministries and in local churches around the world, will find soft, moist, fertile soil. And I pray that seed will grow and grow until everything you desire to be done in each life is fulfilled. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.